So the precarious experience of being a Jew that you described in Eastern Europe in 1944, I've heard you say compelled you or called you, certainly in your teenage years in Canada, towards Zionism.
Yeah.
Because in your words, and I'm quoting you, it appeared to be the perfect answer to that horrific history. It was like a redemption, a regaining of power, a proud assertion of a proud Jewish identity. And really an antidote to hundreds of years of persecution. But Gavel, then in subsequent years, you've spoken very critically of Zionism and its essence and rejected its tenets and particularly its contemporary manifestation, stating that it's had horrific consequences, and I quote you again, for the Palestinian people and lamentable consequences for the Jewish people, that it has a corrupting influence on the Jewish soul.
Yeah.
What triggered this revision?
It wasn't any overnight epiphany. It was gradual. I was a Zionist youth leader. I was the head of a Zionist youth group in Vancouver. And as you say, I was impelled towards Zionism as it makes sense. We were persecuted, wandering everywhere. We had this ancient homeland from which we were expelled. And ever since then, we've been persecuted. It's time to go back, reestablish ourselves, and claim our right to be a people, have our own army, our own state, where we no longer are despised and vulnerable minority. That makes perfect sense. And for the psychological wound of, there's one part of it. There's a psychological part as well, which is that the American black psychologist, Dr. Kenneth Hardy, talks about what he calls the assaulted sense of self. And that's that the abused individual or collective takes on a view of themselves that the perpetrator has. So abused children tend to despise themselves. As somebody said, when parents abuse a child, the child will love the parents and hate himself. Now, this is also true in the collective sense. So American blacks, for example, used to hate being black. They used to hate the fact that their hair was curly, like yours. And they would try and... Malcolm X, the black leader, describes in his autobiography putting this searing chemical on his scalp to try and straighten his hair. And people tried to bleach their skin. And Malcolm X once said to people, "Who taught you to hate the shape of your lips or the shape of your nose or the color of your skin?" And you see this everywhere. Everywhere there's colonialism. White is good, and the darker you are, the lower status you are. This is true in India, this is true in Africa, it's true in South America. It's also true for Jews. A lot of Jews develop a negative sense of themselves for the same reasons. And I had that. So Zionism, which all of a sudden gave me a sense of pride and identification and even a sense of superiority, the sense of belonging to this proud ancient race, was also an antidote to the, not just to the historical dilemma of the Jewish people, as I understood it, but also to the psychological dilemma. There's only a few things wrong with that perspective. One is, this may be surprising to you, but there was never any expulsion from Palestine. Didn't happen. It's a story. It's a story. Most Jews never came from Palestine. They were converts elsewhere. Already in ancient times, at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, many more Jews were living outside Palestine than inside Palestine. In the 5th century, there were Arab Jewish kingdoms in Arabia, kingdoms of Jews. There were large numbers of Jewish converts in India, in China, in North Africa. So the story of this wandering people, and by the way, you know what? The great king, the Egyptian exile never happened. No historical evidence whatsoever. In fact, at the time that the Jews were supposed to have left Egypt, Palestine was a part of Egypt. And there's no evidence of any migration, none of that. There's no great kingdoms of David and Solomon story. Maybe there was a king called David, a small tribal enclave. So this whole story that we've addicted to is itself a mythology. Well, I didn't find that out right away, but the first thing that happened was when I was still a Zionist, and by the way, I'm talking about stuff that's been uncovered by Israeli Jewish historians. But let me tell you something really interesting, and I mentioned this in a YouTube conversation that you did see. David Ben-Gurion and Yitzhak Ben-Zvi, Ben-Gurion became the first prime minister of Israel. He was the head of the Mapai, the Labor Party, the progressive wing, so-called, of the Zionist movement. Yitzhak Ben-Zvi became the second president of Israel after the death of the first one, Chaim Weizmann. They wrote a book together in 1922 based on their research, in which they argued that given that the Jews were not expelled from Palestine, what happened to them? Well, the ones that stayed there were the peasants, the people that worked the land. Guess what? When the Muslims came in, they converted to Islam, which means that many of the, not all, but many of the Palestinians may actually be the descendants of ancient Jews. Ben-Gurion and Yitzhak Ben-Zvi argued this. They're not the only ones. So, when I was still in the Zionist movement, I was given the task of how do we combat, I'm talking the 1960s now, how do we combat Arab propaganda on the campuses? Nothing new under the sun, right? So I thought, well, maybe if I'm going to talk about how to combat it, maybe I should find out what it is. So I started looking at what the Palestinians were saying. And I remember one event where I was given the job of representing the Palestinian point of view. Not that I believed in it, but once I look into something, I know how to represent it. So I gave the Palestinian argument. People were outraged with me. How can you say these things? I said, look, I'm just doing my job. Then what happened was that the Vietnam War happened. And during the Vietnam War, the Western press mercilessly lied. They denied the carnage, the mass murders, the bombings, the lies, the conspiracy of deceit on which the Vietnam War was based, in the name of which 2 or 3 million people were massacred. And then the 1967 crisis came up in the Middle East. And actually, I volunteered to go to Israel then, you know, to serve as to replace soldiers who had to go to battle. I didn't end up going because the war happened so quickly. But I still had my Zionist faith up to a point. But I began to question, why is the same press that so enthusiastically and relentlessly lying about Vietnam so supportive of Israel? The same dishonest, malevolent Western press. And then I began to do some research, and by the fall of 67, I wrote an article for the student newspaper which said that actually Israel concocted and deliberately provoked this war in order to capture more territory that they'll never give back. Well, that article made me persona non grata in the Jewish community and got me kicked out of my parents' home. But by that time, I knew. And that's that's when I began to do the research, and I found out that right from the beginning of Zionism, there have been Jews, even Zionists, who opposed the Zionist project because they knew where it was going, and that the slogan of a land without a people, for a people without a land, was a lie. There was no people, there was no land without a people. In 1917, when the anti-Semite Arthur Balfour issued the Balfour Declaration, saying that, you know, Her Majesty's government views with favor the establishment of a Jewish. Who the hell is Her Majesty's government to view with favor anything? But when he said that, there were roughly 500,000 to 600,000 Palestinians and maybe 50 to 75,000 Jews in Palestine. So that what became clear to anybody with open eyes, and people did have their eyes open, is that this project could never be accomplished without suppressing the Palestinian people. And Ben-Gurion and Jabotinsky both said that. They said very clearly. They said, we call the Arab terrorists, but they're not terrorists. They're just defending their homeland. Any people would defend their homeland. We're threatening to take away their homeland. Of course they're fighting back. They said that privately. Publicly, the Arabs are terrorists, you know. So, boy, I could go on forever, but in a nutshell, I found out the actual history. The actual history that by now has been documented by Jewish Israeli historians like Ilan Pape, like Benny Morris, who is a lunatic, but he did document the expulsion of the Palestinians, the massacres by the Jewish militia, the rapes of Palestinian women, the bulldozing destruction of homes, 500 Palestinian villages were destroyed, the whole lie about the Arabs telling the Palestinians to leave, that didn't happen. Didn't happen. The Arab invasion, totally a false and distorted narrative. The terrorism and the destruction of Palestinian villages started half a year before the Arab invasion. And one could go on forever. And it's continued since. There's been... So the question, how did I... There's no epiphany, but I learned the history. And I learned the history not as documented by Palestinians, but as documented by Jews and Israelis. So that's all there is to it. Nobody who knows the history can possibly believe a word of the Zionist propaganda talking points. It's all ludicrous nonsense.